shit.
This is KAYT-FM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Apostle Kenny Townsend.
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
To take a stand. Not no.
This is the day that Yahuwah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we bid you Yahuwah speed in the name of His Son, the King of Kings, Lord over Lords, none other than in the person of the intramonerable, the incomparable, the majestic, Yahusha HaMashiach.
Yes.
For there is none other name given under, in, or around heaven where men must be redeemed, but by the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. You know him, however, as Jesus the Christ. But we're here again to just let you know that it's a blessing to be in the midst of Yahuwah's people. That's you. That's right. You are Yahuwah's people.
Amen.
That's right. You are the sheep of his pasture. And again, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to some and present to others, none other than myself, Apostle Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 40 years, none other than in the person of.
Amen. Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we thank you for joining us with the Moments of Inspiration International Fellowship this morning. We know that you could be doing 1,001 or maybe 1,000,001 different things, but you've taken time out from your busy schedule to join us, and we greatly appreciate that. We're just so delighted to come into your homes, maybe your places of confinement, wherever you might be, under the sound of our voice. We're just so delighted to come to you as you travel up and down the highways. And if you are traveling up and down the highways, I would like to give you this admonition. Please exercise safety and discretion, because the life you save just might be your own. On that note, going to ask Lady Townsend to share a scripture with us, and then we're going to go before the throne of grace.
Amen. Coming out of the book of St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse, and it reads as this: Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ooh, ye that work iniquity.
Mm.
Oh, glorious Father. Oh, God. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Yahusha. Glory to your name. That verse just really just, oh, my God, you should have everybody self-examine themselves. Amen. Self-examine themselves, because nobody want to hear you say, depart from me.
That's right.
Glory to God. We shouldn't even want our enemies to even hear that. But we have to do something ourselves.
Yes.
We have to make sure
that
we're living according to his will, not our own, but his will.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And we thank you today as we pray for those everywhere.
Yes.
Those everywhere. That you said there's a way that seemeth right.
Oh, yes.
But at the end, is death.
Is death. That's correct.
Amen. So we just really had to self-examine ourselves and make sure that we're doing the will of the Father that have sent us here. Amen.
Oh, yes.
And we thank you today as you teach us from day to day how to do your will, how to live. Hallelujah, in the will of God.
Yes.
Amen. And we just want to thank you today as we pray for our brothers and sisters and those that don't know you.
Yes.
We pray that you will just touch the young people.
Yes.
So many thinking about everything except you.
Yes.
And
yes.
Oh God, they're so close to danger. They're
yes.
so close to the enemy trying to take them out of here.
Yes.
But God,
yes.
we lift them up today.
Yes.
Oh God, we lift them up today that they will just make a decision in their heart.
Oh yes.
To follow you. You know how to reach them.
Yes.
You know how to touch them. You
yes.
know how to gather their thoughts.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
Glory to God.
Yes.
We just thank you today that you will encourage them to do the right thing.
Oh, yes.
In the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach. We thank you and we bless you.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, we're so delighted to come to you. If you just joined us, this is Moments of Inspiration International Fellowship right here in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in that neck of the woods, we would love to extend to you a VIP invitation to join us every Sunday at 12 o'clock noon at 1400 College Drive right by the Louisiana College. Listen, we would love to have you. If you're in a position where you're trying to get to know the things of the Most High in a more excellent way, this is the assignment that we have in these end times right now, and that is to open the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of Yahuwah's people so that we can be that church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. We are in some cataclysmic times, as I said before. We're not here to entertain God's people. We're here to empower you and to get you to understand the lateness of the hour. For as the good book says, if the good man of the house knew what hour the thief was coming, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up into. And everything that's unfolding on a day-to-day basis is just what the book is talking about. The Bible prophesied that in the end of times that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Mm-hmm. Yahushua spoke about it in the book of Matthew.
All
he
right,
said,
man.
But these will just be the beginning of sorrows. We're living in the dispensation of time right now. As I told you before, it's getting to be every man for himself and God for us all. And that's never the way it was intended because of the hardness of people's hearts.
Well,
listen, they would rather believe men than believe the Most High.
Make it plain.
And this is where we are right now. And this is the reason why we entitled this The Power of Your Words, Part 2. Because I think the last time I told you that words are the most instrumental thing on this planet. That's the greatest gift that Yahuwah gave to mankind. Now, those words can encourage and those words can incite wars. Those words can deduce us to the lowest common denominator, if
Great.
You will. And that's the whole purpose, that if you don't understand the power of words, you will be seduced. You will be manipulated. You will be controlled if you don't understand the power of words. You see, the only way that wars can break out, people have to be incited by the words of other people. And if somebody comes up to you and tell you that I'm going to rob you, you're not just going to look at them. You're going to study the words that they said. And then you're going to try to make preparation to say, now, is this nutcase really talking about robbing me or are they talking about this? In any event, you know, words can make you and words can break you. This is the reason why we called it part two, because we shared with you last week how important it is that, you know, from the time we were children, Lady Townsend, we were taught words and we were taught to use them in just a haphazard way. You know, I mean, we say things, and again, I want to emphasize this. I want to emphasize this to get people to understand. Many times, while you're worried about witchcraft and sorcery, you're the witch.
Hmm.
You're the warlock pronouncing things over yourself. And until you understand the importance of words, words are tangible things. As I told you last week, it wasn't enough for Yahuwah to just think about letting light come forth. He literally had to say it.
Yes.
He literally had to say it, beloved people of the Most High. And so the words that proceed out of your mouth will cause you to go up or they will cause you to go down. Even when Yahuwah told the children of Israel that he was going to bless them to go into a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he put in the heart of Moses, Lady Townsend, he said, send out 12 spies. Mm. What I'm trying to get you to understand is it's funny how 12 people can be looking at the same thing but see something totally different.
Oh, my. So true.
A lot of us are looking at the word of the Most High, but we're seeing something totally different.
Jesus.
It's not registering the way that it's supposed to, especially, you know, when we look at what's going on right now. Many people are in an uproar, but the Holy Book spoke that these things would come to pass.
All right.
He said in the last days, men would be more lovers of themselves than lovers of the Most High.
Come on now.
And that's where we are right now. What do you think brings on war? Men are lovers of themselves. What do you think causes these things to happen? Because we live in a gangster society. And somebody always wants to gangster somebody like drug lords. That's what's going on today. But your Bible spoke about that. And again, words are the most important things. So while you're focusing on the news, mm-hmm. while you're focusing on the killings and the murders, those things are to register in your psyche so that you can get upset, angry, and mad. And you know what that does? That causes you to vibrate on a negative frequency. Are you hearing me on today? Mm. As long as they can get you to focus on a negative frequency, they learn how to harness that energy, and they will begin to keep you in a frame of mind of discombobulation. Discombobulation means that you know you should be doing something this way, but you're going against it the opposite way. So again, words are very important. Listen, when they show you war on the television screen, you know what should be coming out of your mouth? Peace. Hmm. When Yahushua was in that storm, that was just another form of war. The elements were discombobulated, rain was falling down, thundering, lightning was going on, and the Bible says the billows and the sea began to just become boisterous. Well, that was war at sea. Mm. But what did Yahushua say when he stepped out there on the boat? Did he say, oh, my God, look at this war. God said that there was going to be, the sea is going to be boisterous. God said that. No, he said, peace.
Peace.
You see the word that he took? He took that word peace and he put it out into the elements. Can you imagine if the people of the Most High would begin to take that word peace? Yes. And I'm talking about whatever's functioning in Israel, whatever's going on in Iran, and everybody that says they are a believer in Yahushua HaMashiach would take that word peace. Peace. Be still. Mm. And mean it from your heart. Don't you know your words have power?
Yes.
This is the reason why we entitled this The Power of Your Words, Part 2. Because until you understand the power of words and how to properly utilize those words, you will always find yourself in a deficit. The deficit means that you're looking at what's in your pocket, but you're not looking at what God's words say. You're looking at the bills that are coming in, but you're not listening to what God's words say. You're looking at the circumstance and situation with your children and how that they're going through and this, but you're not speaking what God's word say. Until you learn to speak the word of what
yes.
Yahuwah said,
yes.
then you'll see the results. But you know what? Pastor, pray for me. My son is on drugs and oh, mm-hmm. okay, you want Pastor to pray for you? Are you a believer? Oh, yes, I've been walking with the Lord for the last 20 or 30 years. Then speak what the word says.
Speak.
The word says that the unbelieving family member is sanctified by the believing family member, which means that even though your son or daughter is not acknowledging the salvation of Yahushua HaMashiach, you have the power to say, son, daughter, listen, I know you're going contradictive right now, but you know what? I've dedicated you to the Lord.
Yes.
And so, therefore, the seed that you're speaking within the spirit realm of your child's spirit is going to come to pass. You're sowing a seed.
Yes.
See, while you're sowing a monetary seed to get some money, that's the wrong kind of thing. That ain't even what Yahushua was talking about.
I know that's
mankind
right.
Mankind and came in here and took that thing and took the word of God and changed it in retrospect for money. And that's not what the Lord is saying. Money ain't never been seed. Let's get that straight right now.
Make it plain.
And to those of you that are up under that jurisdiction and that lie, listen, I've got to tell you, money is not seed. When we go to the Bible, Lady Townsend,
yes.
And we go there, and Yahushua tells the story about a sower that went to sow some seed. Do you remember how the story went? He said, some fell among thorns and thistles. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on good ground.
Yes.
And then the disciples wanted to ask him, so what's the purpose of this parable? Well, I'll tell you what. If you haphazardly, because if the seed is the word,
Yes.
And the Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. Then the words that are coming out of your mouth are seeds that are being sown. And when you start to sow seeds of negativity and you repeat what you hear coming from the news, you repeat what's going on. Oh, my God, do you see all of the kids that got killed over in Iran? Well, you know what? Instead of you saying God's word is coming to pass because of the inability for man to want to obey the Most High, his word said that in the last days, men would be more lovers of themselves than lovers of Yahuwah. He said that a man's enemies will be those of his own household. The father will be against the son. Yahuwah's word will come to pass. Mm. But in the meantime, you have the ability to say that, you know what? Psalms 91. He that abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Is that you today? Are you abiding under the shadows of the Almighty? Because, again, here's the thing about it. Yahusha said, fear not him that can destroy the body, Lady Townsend, but much rather fear him that can destroy the body and soul and cast them both into hell. War can only destroy the body. But to those that don't know and that have not made Yahushua HaMashiach Lord of their life, well, now you know what? You're going to be born once and you're going to die twice. But if you've been born again of the water and the spirit and you've been washed in the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach, guess what? You've been born twice and you only die once.
Well, you ought to preach it.
Your words. Your words. Life and death are in the power of your tongue, beloved. And so a lot of times what has happened is we've grown up in society from the times that, you know, we've been growing up watching TV and in the hood, so to speak, in neighborhoods and different scholastic institutions of higher learning. I mean, whatever you learn, the words that you learn are going to have a profound impact over your life. Salutation goes out to the late, great Jesse Jackson. And I'll tell you one thing about Mr. Jesse Jackson that I can appreciate. Lady Townsend, and we used to hear this in Chicago when we were in Chicago. He didn't care if you were a prostitute. He didn't care if you were a homosexual, lesbian. He didn't care if you were a crack addict, an alcoholic. He didn't care if you were homeless. But he had, I think it was three words that he had the people to repeat. And those three words helped to revolutionize the mentality of many people. Those three words helped them get out of the ghetto into the getmo. Because can I tell you, for the sake of those listeners that may not be familiar with what Mr. Jackson would say?
Oh, they're familiar.
At the Rainbow Coalition, he would start off his ministry by telling those people these words. I am.
Yes.
Somebody.
Yes, Lord.
I am.
Amen.
Somebody.
God made us.
You see, it's not, I can tell you you're somebody, but it's not until you say, for by your words, you are justified. By your words, you are condemned. Yes, I know it's so easy to say when we see that. I told you the world is going to hell in a handbasket. We're just merely repeating what we heard.
Yes.
Instead of saying God's word is being fulfilled. The Most High's word is coming into fruition. Look, when I see people conning folks out of their money, saying that God told me to tell you that there's 10,000 folks up in here that can sow $100,000. And when I hear that, I said, no, God's word didn't say that.
Come on, preacher.
You said that. And to back up what God's word said, he said that they will make gain of you using the word of God. See, if you were to start reading your Bible and start reading your word, you would understand that the people are only now trying to hoodwink you and bamboozle you.
Come on.
Seed has never been money. And to those of you, I need you to understand that. Look, what the problem is, you're haphazardly sowing word in a way just to get your point across. And when word is taken out of context, that makes it a manipulatory factor. And it was never meant to be that way.
Amen.
Lady Townsend, it was never meant to be that way. That's the reason why he said, study.
Show yourself
approved. To do what?
Show yourself approved.
Show yourself approved. See, you can tell me God's going to bless me for sowing a $10,000 seed, but I know better. God would bless me for sowing a $10 seed.
Come on.
Uh-huh. And now watch this. The leader that's going around here boisterously discommunicating that type of rhetoric is not really one called from the Most High. But the sad part about it is,
come on,
the devil can do no more than what you let him do. You see, if the devil comes up to me and listen, there are people out there that will sow a negative word in your life because they know you're vulnerable. Number one, they know you're not reading the word for yourself. So someone will come up to you and says, the Lord has showed me, man of God, that somebody put a curse on you. Really? If anybody put a curse on me, it's me.
Come on.
No, nobody can put a curse on me. Now, if you're playing on the devil's territory, well, you liable to get anything. If you go in shark-infested waters with blood all over you, what do you think going to happen?
You're going to get ate alive.
What do you think going to happen? If you go into shark-infested waters with blood all over you, a shark's instincts is to smell your blood. Well, in today's society, do you understand? They prey off the weakness of your emotions. They've learned how to look in your eyes. They've learned how to throw words out there to see how you respond. And once they see the power of their words is manipulating you, this is how they zero in and target you.
Been doing it forever.
I recently got a text from somebody said, Kenny Townsend, you still interested in the car? And I don't even remember looking about no car. But it's tax time. And because it's tax time, Lady Townsend, everybody's out to con and get somebody.
Oh, definitely. Some of them.
Am I right about it?
Yes, a lot of them out there doing
that. Am I right about it? During this time is during the most time when people love to travel. They love to do revivals because they want to get some of your tax money. Are you hearing me on today? I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil.
That's the truth.
If God got to make a way for me, for you digging in my pocket, then I'm the sucker. Because if I got to come to you and tell you that if you sow a seed, God gonna bless you, why hasn't he blessed me yet? You're listening to the words of charlatans. You're listening to the words of con men and con women. The word. The importance of word, part two. Lady Townsend, if you'll go with me to the book of Matthew again, and I just want to go there to help our people understand why it's important for the words to come out of your mouth. And when the Bible says, hey, mothers, fathers, parents, when the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, you have misarticulated that, thinking that your child is to be taken to church and to Sunday school and this, that, and other. But let me serve you notice on today, the first classroom for the child is the home. Are you hearing me?
Come on now.
Before they get to kindergarten, before they get to pre-K, before they get to Head Start, first learning classroom for the child is the home. And whatever words are being spoken in the house are germinating into the soil of the child's mind. Are you hearing me on today?
All right now.
This is the reason why words are important. Mi hermana, ¿cómo estás? Buenos días. Valencia Rodriguez. My sister, God bless you. So glad you could join us on today. Where are you joining us from? Yeah, as a matter of fact, those of you that are checking in, let us know where you're checking in from. I greatly appreciate that. Yes, training begins at home. Okay, you can't wait for your children to get to school. You can't wait for them to get to Head Start. You can't wait for them to get to what's the other one? Daycare. You can't wait. North Carolina. Okay, God bless you. Yeah, you can't wait until they get to these places. You must begin to put things into the mentality and the psyche of your children when they are young. And unfortunately, because we've not been taught right, many of us have not been saved all of our lives. But you know what? We have to go back sometimes and retract those things that we sowed into the seed of their spirit. Many parents have told, especially single moms that got mad at the baby's daddy, will go around and say, you know what? You're going to be no good, just like your no good daddy. Look at the seed you done sowed.
Amen. That's curse words.
You've cursed your child. Your daddy wasn't no good. You just like him. You ain't going to be no good. Listen to what you're doing. You're sowing seed negative seed in good ground. Because your child is good ground. You're sowing negative seed, though. You see, but now you don't have any. You just think you're doing something. But you don't understand the power. You've just spoken a curse over your child.
Yep.
The power of your words are very instrumental. Listen, I know you mean well. But let me share this with you out there. I know you may love your family. You love your children. You love your husband. You love your wife. But it is imperative that you stop saying, Pastor Townsend, Apostle, I love you to death. No, you don't. You're using witchcraft when you say that. Man, I love my mama to death, and you don't even know you're speaking death on your mother. I love my children to death. You don't know what you're doing. You're speaking witchcraft over your child. You don't even understand what you're doing. The English language and its vernacular was set up from a witchcraft perspective in the first place. Why do you think when they first get to school and they put the joining of consonants and vowels together, they call it spell?
Yes.
Because witches and warlocks cast spells on you.
Yes.
Are you hearing me on today?
Yes.
The importance of the vernacular of your words mean everything. Last week I shared with you that that you were taught as a child when you heard the words abracadabra, it was magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's an old archaic language. And when that language is deciphered, the words abracadabra is merely saying, I create as I speak.
Mm.
That's what you're doing, beloved. That's what you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing with your words. Hey, child, how much you get back on your income tax? Baby, my income tax check spent before I get it. Look at the words that you just spoke.
Yes.
You create as you speak. I don't care if mother had cancer, daughter had cancer, daddy had cancer. Well, you know, diabetes run in our family. Look at the curse that you're agreeing to.
My.
When you can say that, you know what? Diabetes runs from my family. It don't run in my family.
Woo.
Cancer doesn't run in my family. It runs from my family. Look at the words that you're putting out into the etheric octave that will now germinate. And you know what? Just like a chicken coming home to roost, your words come home to roost.
Mm. Great.
For by your words.
You're justified.
Help the people understand that, Lady Townsend.
Amen.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Our words means everything. Amen. And it's the same thing, you know, the way you speak to a person. Sometimes you can be in an argument ready to start. But if the way you speak, amen, what you speak and how you speak, and, you know, it can turn that situation all around. Instead of a full-out war, you know, words, all of a sudden, you know, we've done it too many times. You turn the situation around. Our words mean everything. It's like we always say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
I'm finna get a little transparent. You know, when we first got married, we were very immature. Would you agree?
Yes.
You're very immature. Lady Townsend got mad at me and we were arguing. And she said, you know what? You can just get your stuff and get up out of here. I said, what did you say? She said, get your stuff and get up out of here. I said, okay. And you know what I did? I ran over there, and I grabbed Sister Townsend and put her on my shoulder. She said, put me down, put me down. I said, uh-uh, you my stuff. I said, no, you my stuff. So, no. So if you told me to get my stuff and get out of here, that means I'm taking you and getting out of here because you're going with me. My point is, brothers and sisters, words can make you, words can break you. Words can create war. Words, watch this, can steal war.
That's right.
That's why I'm trying to get you to understand. Don't focus on the Israeli bomb in Iran. Speak peace.
All right.
Speak peace to Iran. Speak peace to Israel. Speak in those words. Because does not the word of God says, and I sent my word and healed them. The words that you use can bring healing. Think about that. When a centurion soldier came to Jesus to get his soldier healed.
Come on.
And Jesus said, I'll go to your house and heal them. He said,